This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. And you are listening to Everything Under the Sun. I am your host, Skylar, from the Soper Sun. And today, we have a very important guest, Carbondale and Rural Fire Protection District Fire Chief Rob Goodwin. How are you, Rob?
Well, Skylar, thanks for having me. It's really good to be here.
Oh, thank you for making the time, really. So, you know, I think part of the reason it's so important to talk about fire right now and, you know, in general. We had a bit of a fire incident this past weekend. Would you mind talking about that a little bit?
Sure. Sunday afternoon, a little after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we got a report of a fire on a ridge kind of above White Hill and just above the Nislanic Ranch. And so we responded to it with our wildland team and incident commanders and set up, and we found a group of trees. The pinyon juniper was burning briskly and it was spreading. And what we do with locally here, all the fire districts, if they get a fire, even one like that, we have what we call automatic aid agreements. And we just, particularly in a year like this, if one of us gets a wildfire call like that, at least one of the other neighboring agencies or both are automatically called. So Roaring Fork Fire in Elgibel and Basalt, they were paged as well. And so we had crews from Roaring Fork Fire, Carbondale and Rural, and we also ordered two engines from our interagency friends with the BLM, from the interagency group in Rifle, and some are staged more locally. So we had a robust response. I went up there, and we were looking at it, and we really wanted a helicopter. And this is anecdotal kind of thing, but
yeah.
We really wanted a helicopter to kind of douse it, because there was a wind. It wasn't a really big wind, thank goodness, but there was a wind and it was spreading. And so we got on the horn with the Grand Junction Air Center, which is the interagency Forest Service and BLM. They're the ones that have the big air tankers and helicopters and such. And there was not one to be had.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting that there's so much burning, in different areas. And I don't mean so much land. I mean, there are a lot of fires, right?
Yeah.
And just before that fire on Sunday above White Hill, two kind of ornery fires up by Steamboat started. And I don't know, you might have heard of those two, but I think it's the Fishhook Fire started right up close to Rabbit Ears Pass and Big Timber, and then another wildfire at almost the same time started outside of Oak Creek.
Okay.
And threatened the town evacuation.
Oh,
so, you know, and when that happens, this is just information for folks on how the system works,
yeah.
Right? In Colorado today, you know, there's a lot of wildfires burning. There are aircraft from in-state, out-of-state, you know, flying, have been ordered up, and they're flying on different fires. And when another fire will pop up, if it's, oh my goodness, it's threatening, they'll divert aircraft to come and try to punch it and knock it and get it small, keep it small, right? And then they'll divert back to the original fires. And for us, that day, there wasn't really any aircraft close to divert, and it wasn't like we talk a lot about the wildland urban interface, right, where houses, subdivisions out in the woods and stuff.
Okay.
where I live,
yeah.
And you know, if it was threatening something like that, we would tell them, and it probably would have gone up a little quicker on the priority list. But As it was, they said you're going to have to wait. But what they did do is they sent a thing called air attack. And air attack's really interesting because anytime we have a fire and we fly or we request and they're flying two or more aircraft, you have to have a thing called air attack. And it's an airplane with some people in it, and it flies, let's say the helicopters and air tankers fly, you know, maybe 2,500 feet, right, in elevation. Air attack will fly at 9 or 10,000 feet and circle the incident as all these aircraft are coming in, and they are an air traffic control platform that guides them all in, keeps us from having, you know, planes and helicopters collide. Well, they flew their air attack craft out and circled our fire and talked with us air to ground, and we talked through it and talked through, you know, they had a good look at, even better look than we did at where it might progress, any structures that might be threatened and things like that. And so even though we didn't get a helicopter, they still helped us. And, you know, when we knew it was going to be sketchy, so we ordered, like I said, a robust response. And we were fortunate, once again, like I said, that fire was spreading in one direction, and we had a wind change, and it shifted and turned back in the direction of the and burned back on itself a little bit. And we had, you know, half a dozen engines and upwards of 30 people, and we were able to, just by scratching line and fire hoses, surround it. So all's well that ends well.
Yeah, and I you know, we have a small report in our brief section in the Soper Sun this week about the fire.
Yeah.
And I know and this is all information coming from you all at the district, but it was 0.6 acres, and you guys got it out in just over 4 hours after responding.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And do you have an idea of what might have started the fire?
Yeah, we're pretty sure our investigation team went through it after it was over, and we're pretty sure it was what's called a holdover fire from a lightning strike.
Okay.
Those are common. A tree will get hit and, you know, by lightning, and it'll kind of smoke a little, and then it goes away. No one knows it got hit, but it is still burning down in the base and in the roots. And this was a holdover strike from about 9 or 10 days ago.
Oh, wow.
It was the last time we had lightning. Yeah, it sounds impossible, but it's regular.
It's impressive.
Happens all the time.
Wow. And how common is it for a fire to ignite this close to, or in town? Like, I guess I don't know if that's exactly in town limits, but...
Common.
Okay.
Yeah, little fires. Lightning hits everywhere.
Yeah.
People live in these areas. People start fires. We were talking earlier, you know, in Colorado, over 80% of wildland fires are human caused, and the rest are, you know, natural lightning.
Right.
Yeah.
And what, you know, so I know this year has had some pretty historic drought.
True.
Coming off of a historically poor snowpack.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean then for fire conditions in the state in general?
Well, again, we were talking earlier, I've been doing firefighting and stuff around here since the mid-80s. And I know a lot of people in the wildland business. We talk all the time. None of us have ever seen conditions like this, ever. 2018, when we had the Lake Christine fire, that was really bad conditions. 2020 was not good. 2002, when we had coal seam. And then, of course, 94, when we had the Storm King fire. Conditions were all terrible. This is setting new records, historic records for low humidities, dry fuels, moistures. Because of this persistent drought, we are in D4 exceptional drought in this area, and we've been that way for, I think, going on 18 months. never seen that. And then, of course, everyone knows the winter we didn't have.
Yep.
And it has caused fuels to be like no one's ever seen them. And that increases a thing called, I don't want to get too technical, but energy release components, meaning that when pinyon juniper or sage or whatever, a fuel starts, it the higher the number, the more explosive and the more rapid that is. Our ERCs have pegged the meter at points never seen. So, yeah, it's critical fire danger right now.
And how can people in Carbondale and in Colorado in general be prepared for fire nearby?
Really great question. There's, I think, a couple of points to that. One is not wanting to be the cause of a fire, right? So just not having fires, open fires. But human cause means chains dragging on a trailer on the highway.
Wow.
That's what started the Grizzly Creek fire, and that was a horrible fire. Make sure that kind of stuff, they're secured and they're tied up. And anything like that, you wouldn't think that could cause a spark, but it does. And that in this dry, that's all it takes. So when you're going out hiking, when you're doing anything, traveling, making sure just your situational awareness of your vehicles, your stuff, what we're doing. And I don't mean being paranoid. I just mean pay attention. And if you're barbecuing and you have a propane grill, great. But still, pay attention and be fire safe. And then the other thing is to be ready to evacuate, right? Having a go bag, and we've talked a lot about this throughout the year so far, but having a go kit, a go bag, ready to go with your important stuff and be able to take care of yourself and your family for 72 hours, it's vitally important. And the information on setting up a go bag is available on the Carbondale Fire District website, our Facebook page, both Pickens County and Garfield County Emergency Management websites. Great info. And a go bag is simple. Everyone listening has, I would venture to say, 80%+. They already have 80% of what you need for a go bag in your house. And you just put it together and have it ready. And so that kind of thing is really important. Have a plan for where to meet your family. You know, we have fire safety plans for house fires. We meet out in the front yard. But, you know, life around here, we think, yeah, we'll all meet down the street. Well, it could be a wildfire when one kid is home, both parents are working at different places, another kid is somewhere else, right, in the valley or out of the valley. Where do we meet? How do we get there? And when do we call each other? You know, that can be a 5 or 10 minute discussion, and then everyone knows. Things like that, paying attention just a little bit more to the things in your life.
And, you know, we don't want to get too into the weeds here, but what are some items that would go in a go bag, just like off the cuff?
Well, for going, right, I would think any extra medications that you might need, right? 3 days supply, important papers, insurance, other things. If you either have them on a cloud or a thumb drive or copied, clothes, water, batteries, cell phone chargers, all kinds of stuff. Food for your dog or your cat, the crate, and then water. You know, when you leave and you don't have water, a human being in an emergency uses about 1 gallon a day.
Wow.
So you need to take 3 gallons for each person. So having the jugs available, collapsible jugs or whatever, with your go bag, and you can fill them up right before you go. You don't have to carry water around.
Yep.
I have a go bag. My wife has one. We both have them in our car. And then we have another, like, tote thing in the house for our dogs and cat and other stuff.
And for those just tuning in, this is Everything Under the Sun, the Sober Sun's weekly radio show on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. We've got Rob Goodwin, Carbondale and Rural Fire Protection District Fire Chief, with us here today talking about the recent fire on White Hill that happened last Sunday, and all things fire in the state and in the valley. So, you know, we were just talking about go bags and evacuation plans. What would happen? Like, what should people look for when they get the call to go? Like, will there be a PSA through town website, or what would that look like?
That's a great question. That notice is going to go out over several different mediums, and the first would be reverse 911 from whichever county's dispatch center, right? If it's a Garfield County incident, it'll come from the Rifle Dispatch Center. If it's in Pitkin, it'll come from the Aspen one. But you'll get reverse 911, and that's to every landline. Not everybody has landlines. The second way is it'll come out through either Pitkin Alert or what's called Everbridge from Garfield County. And you have to sign up for those.
Okay.
And so you can go on their website. We have links to their websites on our stuff as well. But you go on it. It takes you about a minute. You sign up with your cell phone, and you'll get those alerts if there's an evacuation or an emergency alert, right, that the road's closed or whatever. And so those are vital. Signing up for Pitkin Alert or Garfield County's Everbridge, if you haven't done it, you need to do it. And then there's another one that's gained popularity and works extremely well, and it's called ReachWell, ReachWell. And that started out as a school app across the country. But both counties, all the counties, the state, fire district, they all have ReachWell channels. And ReachWell, just go to the app store, you click on it, it's free, you download it, and you sign up for which county or which agencies you want alerts from. You can toggle them on, toggle them off. ReachWell collects no personal data about you. Right.
Wow.
And you can turn it off, you can get rid of it, or you can turn on multiple. Like right now, I have Eagle County, Pitkin, and Garfield in my alerts. And the Carbondale Fire District, we'll brag about this a little bit, we're the first and still probably the only fire district in the state, maybe not anymore, but we were the first that has our own ReachWell channel. We will have it up on our Facebook and Instagram and websites. So will the counties. So, you know, the county websites are great for any emergency information and updates. You know, where to take large animals, all those things. That's where I would go if I was evacuating.
Got it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Would there ever be something like an Amber Alert? Is that something the district or the town
there
or county
is.
Has
it's called,
considered?
And that's, I'm glad you mentioned it. I'd forgotten about that. That we would, there's a thing called IPAWS, and you might know this from being in the radio business, but IPAWS is a national alert system. And what it does is we say, you don't sign up for it. But if we say, hey, the town of Carbondale needs to evacuate, we want to do an IPAWS alert, we are linked with them, the counties, particularly law enforcement is, and we would draw a polygon around Carbondale, and every cell phone in that polygon would instantly get the get out message.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's great.
Nice. That is great. I want to shift a little bit to the state as a whole.
Sure.
You know, I was just right before this interview looking at Watch Duty, which is, for those who don't know, a great app to see where fires are burning and kind of what they're doing, you know, to get an idea of where fires are still active in the state.
Yeah, I have Watch Duty. It's great.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it looks like Colorado's burning very significantly, and I was just wondering, you know, I know the conditions are extremely dry. Is that amount of fire, is that unprecedented anyway? Like, is that higher than average because of the dry conditions, or what are we looking at as far as, like, an average year?
Sure. So far, this is not an average year, but it's not necessarily about the number of wildfires. I'll give you a crazy number. Colorado averages between 6,500 and 7,000 wildfires a year.
Wow.
Right? All sizes, all different, right? That are classified as wildfires. So I don't think we've hit that mark yet. I do think we'll go over it and it'll be abnormal. But the fire behavior, the size of fires, make this a completely not normal year. Like the Aspen Acres fire near Pueblo, you know, it's well over 100,000 acres. It's burned almost 900 structures, 400 homes.
400?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. And people don't even know yet because they're still doing damage assessments, right? But the last estimate that I caught was it was like 880 structures, and it was the high 300s in homes, right?
Wow.
Right, residences.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's terrible, and it's going to turn out to be just when the new, you know, we'll all see it when the news comes out of the, you know, the damage assessment of that fire. It's going to be horrible. And then, you know, the Snyder and Knowles fire at the Colorado-Utah border, big, bad fire. They've got good containment on it now, but we killed three firefighters, three of our friends at Rifle Hell Attack. I told you we work daily with interagency folks, and we've worked with Rifle Hell Attack for decades, and it's horrible.
Yeah, horrible.
And so this is a wicked fire year. And of course, the helicopter pilot that died on the Gold Mountain fire a couple days ago as well. So this is a tough, tough season. We've been called to help, right? We went on the Red Rock fire, and then that was down by DeBec, and that was like a day or 3 days before the Snyder and Knowles fire blew into Colorado. So we have what's called a tactical tender, water tender, and crew. They got redeployed to the Snyder fire, and then less than a day later, they got redeployed to Pueblo for the Aspen Acres fire because it was just going crazy and overwhelming. So everybody's trying to help. Everybody's involved. It's one of those years.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to say something about, since I said we have an engine out and, you know, that can, you know, the immediate thing is, well, what about us, right? And that's a legitimate question. And I will tell you, we have that tactical tender out for another probably a week and a half. They're 14-day deployments, and it's got two people on it. We are 100% staffed at the Carbondale Fire District. We hired extra seasonal folks for our wildland teams this year. We hired 16 seasonal temporary folks, and we are doing what we call our initial attack program that we've done for over 25 years. And Ron Leach, the former fire chief, and I started that way back. And we have a brush truck, a wildland engine that patrols the south end of our district up into Marble, Redstone, all that. And we have a separate one that patrols Carbondale, Missouri Heights, and all that every day of the week. We usually had done it with two people. We upstaffed those engines to three. And then we've upstaffed seasonally our regular response crews, so we're overstaffed, ready to respond. That helped us this past Sunday to have enough people to put that White Hill fire out, even though we didn't have air support. So we're paying great attention to this. We've been preparing for this season since last November, knowing that we were headed into something tough. And I can also say, and I do want to say, and we've said this a number of times at public meetings this throughout the spring and now into the summer, Roaring Fork Fire, Aspen Fire, Carbondale Fire, Glenwood Springs, Colorado River Fire Rescue, we all meet regularly. Our chiefs, we meet regularly. Our people train together. We all upstaff, and we are as trained and as prepared as we can possibly be this year, and we will meet whatever happens.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Rob. And, you know, we've got about a minute left. I just quickly
Sorry, I rambled on.
No, that was so informative, and thank you for all that you do, and all of the firefighters here and around the state.
They're a great group.
Yeah, really appreciate your time. This is Everything Under the Sun. Thank you for tuning in to Soper Sun's weekly radio show.